Welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Sheni, the 26th day of the month of Shvat. Happy birthday to my wife, Shani. As always, it is great to be back with all of you. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support, and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Ezra Goldschmidt of Shari Torah in Cincinnati, Ohio, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Goldschmidt slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130. And as always, it will be followed by the Mishaberach L'Cholim and Achinu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Goldschmidt, who we had on back in June, which was a couple of weeks before we began the interview process. So looking forward to learning more about his wonderful community in Cincinnati. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Goldschmidt.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to share some Torah with you. As Rabbi Herman mentioned, I had the pleasure of doing this a while back, and it's a pleasure to participate again. As many of you know, there have been a lot of losses for the Jewish world this year, especially when it comes to Jewish leadership. Last week, we lost another giant, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky Zatzal, and I thought it would be worth discussing his life with the few minutes we have today. Rabbi Dr. Twersky was a man of accomplishment in so many different arenas, providing so much to so many, Jew and non-Jew alike. He was a world-class psychiatrist, author, Hasidic Rebbe, a conscience to the Jewish people, a mentor, and a friend to uncountable souls. He had such a profoundly positive effect on so many lives. How did he do it? And furthermore, how did he do it while remaining, as anyone who knew him would tell you, an incredibly down-to-earth and humble person? You know, on the one hand, there's no easy answer to that, but in some way there is. At times, a number of people asked him this question with respect to just one aspect of his prolific work. They asked him how he managed to write so many books, books on the psychology of addiction, books on Torah, and often a beautiful hybrid of the two. How did he do that? His answer was always the same, that he didn't write so many books. Instead, he kept on writing the same book over and over again, with slight differences here and there, but mostly built off of the same core message. Yeah, I think he might have overstated the case. There certainly was, though, a unifying thread to much of his writing, and besides the inherent power of that core idea itself, I think it also explains how he was able to be who he was. What was that big core idea? Rabbi Dr. Twersky popularized the idea that within Judaism, within Torah, there's nothing trace about self-esteem, and that indeed, self-esteem is something we all need and should have. That might not sound like much of a chidush to us, like such an innovative concept, but that's because after a lifetime of work, Rabbi Dr. Twersky's ideas have successfully taken hold of our collective consciousness on this topic. Without him, we would indeed have difficulty making sense of that in the Torah worldview. To articulate the problem, it's essentially as follows. How does one value and pursue self-esteem without conflating it with what the Orchos Tzadikim calls the root of bad character traits, that of gaava, of haughtiness? To think highly of oneself, you know, to hold oneself in esteem, that does, on the face of it, sound a lot like gaava. Anava, humility, that's what we're urged to build within ourselves, that sounds like the opposite of self-esteem. So where is the space for self-esteem? Rabbi Dr. Twersky, primarily in his classic work, Let Us Make Man, and then in so many other books, in so many forms, like he said, he taught us the following. The problem of gaava, of haughtiness, is the flaw in how one can inaccurately judge oneself, how one can inaccurately value his own abilities, talents, and strengths. A Baal Gava, a haughty person, is someone who thinks he's someone he isn't. He thinks he has more talent than he really has, or he has no accurate context in which to put his talents. He thinks that because he has a particular skill set, he should be treated like a god or something close to one. That's Gava. The opposite problem can be found in many as well. To inaccurately deny that we have any gifts, or to inaccurately deny our capability of achieving greatness, to just constantly tell ourselves we're garnished, we're nothing, that's not anava. That's a paralyzing lack of self-esteem which no one should be striving for. We need a healthy sense of self-esteem that's not gaiva, because self-esteem is the accurate understanding of one's strengths, talents, weaknesses, and blind spots. It's someone who truly knows himself, and if he does, he can find what to accurately value. We all can. Anava, humility, that's the contextual understanding of that value, of those strengths. That if I have self-esteem with anava, I understand the talent I have, and I appreciate that this is something given to me by God, and that in this world of his, I have a job to do with that talent. I'm nothing close to a God. My success comes from God. I'm not owed anything for this talent I have. On the contrary, I owe God and the world so much because of the abilities I've been given. That's an incredibly important idea. It's what allows people to achieve greatness without becoming a haughty mess of a person. It's what makes self-awareness, to know thyself, a high priority in Torah thought, and it's probably the biggest reason that Rabbi Dr. Tversky was able to accomplish so much in his lifetime. He knew what he was capable of doing, and so he did it. And he did it in so many different spheres, he was great in so many ways, without it ever going to his head, because he understood that his possession of those gifts was nothing but a calling to serve God and make the world a better place, which he did so to an incredible degree. Yehi Zichro Baruch, may his memory be a blessing, and may we successfully take stock of all the abilities and opportunities we have, so that we can use them to bring more of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. We'll continue now with the recitation of Tehillim. We'll begin with chapter 23, Perek Chaf Gimel. Mizmor leDavid, Adonai ro'i lo echsar. Vinos deshe yarbitzeni, almei menuchos yenahaleni. Nafshi yishovev, yanchini b'magalei tzedek b'ma'an shemo. Gam ki eilech b'gei tzalmaves, lo irara ki ata imadi, shivtecha u'mishantecha hema yenachamuni. Ta'avroch lefanai shulchan neged tzorarai, nishanta b'shemen roshi, Husi Rivaya. Ach tov achesed yirdefuni kol yemei chayai v'shavti beveis Adonai le'orech yamin. Chapter 121, Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shir lama'alos esa einai el ha'harim me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai osei shamayim v'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Inei lo yanum velo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilacha, al yad yiminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka, viareach balayla. Adonai yishmorecha, mikol roh yishmor es nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzisecha uvoecha, meata be'ad olam. Chapter 130, Perek Kuf Lamed. Shir hama'alos mima'amakim karasicha Adonai. Adonai shema v'koli tiyena uznecha kashuvos lekol tachanunoi. Im avonos tishmor yah Adonai mi ya'amod. Ki imacha hasalicha lema'an tivarei. Kivisi Adonai, kivasa nafshi, v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbei imo fidus. Behu yifte es Yisrael mikol avonosav. Now recite the Misha Berach, L'cholim, prayer for those that are sick. As we say it together and pause, please insert the names of those that are in need of a refuah shleima, of a full and complete healing. Misha Berach Avosenu, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo, Hu Yivarech, Virape, Es HaCholim. Ba'avur sha'anu mispalalim ba'avuram. B'schar zeh ha-kadosh baruch hu, imalei rachamim aleihem b'hachalimam ul'raposam ul'hachazikam ul'hachayosam v'yishlach lehem mehira refuah shleima min ha-shamayim b'chol ivareihem ul'chol gideihem b'soch sha'ar cholei Yisrael. Refuah sa-nefesh, refuah sa-guf, hashtah ba'agala uv'zman kariv. Benomar Amen. We now conclude with a recitation of Achenu, a short prayer for every sort of salvation for our physical and spiritual selves, for us and all our people. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanesunim b'tzara uv'shevya, ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem, v'yotziim mitzara lervacha, u'me'afela l'ora, mishibud l'geula. Hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Goldschmidt. Truly appreciated your remarks this morning. I actually had an opportunity. It was back nearly 20 years ago when I was working at Camp Hask in the summer. Rabbi Dr. A.J. Tversky came up for Shabbos during our staff orientation. I was I'm still young, but I was a very young division head in camp at that time, and was actually struggling with the exact issue that you discussed, you articulated so well, was assuming at that young age these new leadership positions, and wanted to figure out that healthy balance of self-esteem together wrapped with humility, and not to let one's ego get to themselves. So I very much cherish that conversation that I had with him, and his passing is a real loss for all of Klal Yisrael. So as we transition into this next segment of our call, first and foremost, and we began this, I think you were on the first or second week in June. So really what we thought at the time might have been we were getting towards the end, but now we look back, we were very much in our early days of COVID-19. But first and foremost, how are you? How's the family? How's the community doing?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. With respect to the community, I think, one of the most difficult parts of all of this is that it's hard to answer that question. The lack of personal connections, you could only do so much over a screen and a phone call check-in. That makes me worried about how on target I am in my assessment, but I think we're doing okay. Some of us are seeing each other in group settings, in person at Minyanim, after the initial shutdown a bit less than a year ago. Since then we've been able to operate safely throughout the past 10 months, and virtually at various classes and programs, but that's certainly not everyone. So can't say that with absolute certainty, but with respect, to managing COVID-19 directly, meaning the virus, I can also say, thank God, we're doing well. Among the Kihilo, we've had a few scattered cases of people needing to quarantine and or test positive, but Bli Ayin Hara, no serious cases of people being in danger, having caught COVID, or worse, God forbid. Within the larger Jewish community here, certainly if I speak of our Orthodox community, everyone's by and large worked together, that it's, similar in terms of transmission. And again, Bli Ayin Hara, no tragedies. Schools have been in person with occasional setbacks here and there, but we're, able to live as normally as we can. And that's the community. I guess, so you want to talk about family also?
Only if you want to.
That's a lot. I mean, sure. I mean, for the family, I think we're blessed. We have a wonderful family where we help each other through everything. My wife and I were blessed with four rambunctious boys. they help keep each other busy and entertained, which I think is, you know, something we have that others don't have that privilege. You know, even at times when we need to hunker down more, you know, we're okay. We have some excitement too. We have a baby on the way, God willing, in the next couple of weeks. You know, I think as of today, or maybe give or take a day or two, we've reached the point where the baby won't be considered premature. So that's like a nice milestone, puts us more at ease. My wife Alyssa is looking forward to maternity leave. She works as a night shift nurse, and over the past year, she's had to work with COVID patients on occasion, manage an entire COVID unit. So that's going to be exciting. But through all of it, we've never caught anything. Thank God. She's now fully vaccinated. I'm halfway there. So for our family, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, which we hope everybody gets very soon.
And you're Tashem B'Shah Tova. We hope all is well, all will continue to be well for you, for your family, and the community. So that's a good jumping point for us. Let's get us started for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your community, with Cincinnati. Would it be possible to give us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
Sure. So Shari Torah, we are a modern Orthodox, and just Orthodox shul. You know, a little bit less than 10 years ago was when we were created. I came here about 7.5 years ago as the shul's first and so far only rabbi. We built something really nice here. Cincinnati on the whole is a really great place to live. Jewish life here is flourishing. I think it's because we have a really nice combination of dynamics that the Orthodox community is, you know, somewhere between smaller and mid-range in size, but we, you know, punch above our weight, I'd say, and that we pretty much have all the infrastructure of what a serious community needs. We've got mikveh schools, eruv, kollel, shuls, and all that while having a really good balance of quality of life, low cost of living. We have, thankfully, a very good school voucher program in the state of Ohio here, among other things. So people are happy, and thankfully there's a lot of growth.
That's great. Fantastic. What motivated, what drove and propelled you to go into the rabbinate, and more specifically to become a pulpit rabbi, especially the inaugural rabbi of a new shul?
It was never like one moment or one decision per se. It was certainly not an aspiration for any significant chunk of my life prior to actually becoming a rabbi, you know, to think I'm going to be. I'd say a passion for Judaism came for me probably later than most that are in my line of work. I had it during my Shana Ba'aretz, gap year learning in Israel. I had no designs on being a rabbi at that time, not even close. But, you know, from there I went to a yeshiva university, got a degree in psychology, planned to go into clinical work. I was doing research in the summers, getting ready for grad school. Something interesting happened along the way. YU allows for its students to begin year one of smicha, you know, rabbinate studies concurrently with one's senior year of college. You know, so without plans for the rabbinate still, I wanted to do that program, though, for a year because, you know, I thought it suited my psychology interests. There's courses on pastoral psychology, et cetera, the sort of things that would help me one day, you know, better serve a Jewish population. But, yeah, one thing led to another, though. And I suppose you could say I got sucked in. Among those first year classes was a course called Survey of the American Rabbinate, in which people in various rabbinic professions, they came to tell us about what they do, and importantly about, you know, how Kol Yisrael and the Jewish people need more of us, the students they were talking to in their ranks. So that caused me to think more about things. You know, even took some trips to crazy far off places that aren't in New York and New Jersey, you know, to see what's out there. Continue to sneak a
little
studies,
did he know.
You know, still not, yeah. I wasn't concentrating, deciding that's what I was going to do, but, you know, eventually coming to that conclusion took place over time. Meeting my would-be wife and finding someone who would be supportive of it, not to mention being a fantastic rebbetzin, you know, that's helped a lot as well to coming to that decision.
Amazing. Well, thank the powers that be at YU that they allow that senior year overlap with smicha, because look at all the beneficiaries, including all of us today, by that really fantastic life decision. Last question for you for today. None of us are prophets. None of us know what's going to happen in the future, certainly what's not going to even happen later today. But the world's changed. We know so much over this past nearly a year. We just this past Shabbos and Shul and Shul across the world. We did Birchas HaKodesh for Adar. And as the Chazan said the words, it would be this week, Erev Shabbos, and Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh Adar. And as he said, Rosh Chodesh Adar, I just began to cry. You know, the recognition, the realization that it's been a year. Normally we go into, right, Mishnah Nichnas Adar Marbin Mesimcha, and we'll do that. And we certainly need to do it this year more than ever. But just the somber recognition that it's been a year. And so we've seen so many changes, technology changes. We've seen shuls have tweaked. They've reopened and how they're operating. And so without knowing the future, but we do have hope. We always have hope and optimism. And we're seeing a progression and positive step forward with the rollout of the vaccines. Fantastic that your wife already got hers, that you're halfway there. But when you think about your shul, Shari Tefillah, Shari Torah, when you think about your community and you think about the broader Jewish community, what communal changes do you anticipate for going forward and perhaps during a still COVID-19 or perhaps even post COVID-19?
Yeah, I second your recommendation not to get too much in the prediction business on this. I have concerns and hopes. I am concerned that, many in my own community and really everywhere, though, I think that some may have learned over the past year or so to live without deep ties to the Jewish community. You know, people becoming too comfortable with that framework, to stop going to shul, to become, parts of different social networks to the exclusion of the Jewish community, or to simply develop habits, that Netflix, et cetera, is what they spend their free time on instead of growing. And there's time for that, but within reason, and that's what I'm worried about. And I think it's going to take some significant work to make sure people are brought out of that new normal, so to speak, into the hopefully older normal, even if there's going to be a lot of changes. What I hope for is that people will have a greater appreciation to have a normal Jewish life when we get back to that, and that they cherish it, live it more meaningfully. To some degree, that's happened already. I think, Ar Minyanim, for those that can attend, they've become for sure more meaningful. There's less talking, for sure, the distance and the masks, and just less people being there
certainly helps.
Contributes to that. And, the culture has become one that's better suited for people who really want to be there to daven. As we open up more and transition back to full operations, I'm glad it's going to be a transition instead of just like flicking a switch, because I think that'll give this newer culture a better chance of having some staying power. What other things have come up? We began a Daf Yomi class with the new cycle to some degree because of remote learning. I think that's allowed our program at least to have a wider audience than it might have had if we were doing it in person. And when things get back to normal, I hope there's still that commitment that, was born out of these circumstances. I think it's going to be, my negative and positive forecast, I think it's going to be up to all of our Bechira collectively, our free choice. I could see things going both ways. COVID has had some silver linings in it for Jewish life and obviously some major setbacks. When we get back to normal, are we going to keep the good and lose the bad, or God forbid the opposite? It's going to take work. It's going to require us to choose wisely.
Yeah, I think this is collectively on the minds of rabbis, specifically pulpit rabbis and communal leaders, really trying to think forward of, emerging from COVID and what can and should be done to get everyone back safely and to continue to make shul the meaningful experience that it is, could be, and should be. And please God, it will be. Rabbi Goldsmith, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. And again, shat tovah to you and your wife. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tovah for good. And may the Rabbonei Sha'olam, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Ira Evin of Congregation Oav Shalom in Merrick, New York. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.